See, here we are in the month of May, and you know that Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, has some blockbuster offers. Can you fill us in on some details?
Ira, the Memorial Day offers are running all month long at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Now, that's not next month. That's this month through May. Go to edmorescadillacbrandon.com, and of course, their dealership. You've been there, Causeway Boulevard. So easy to get to. 3 years of routine service, complimentary maintenance on all new 2019s. That's a tremendous value. And of course, everything comes with the Ed Morse Price Protection Promise. The offers are on the website, including 2019 Cadillac XT5, the beautiful crossover, $266 lease per month. All the details, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. And our good friends over at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Sage, General Manager Brian Danahy, he's reminding everybody, join the 1.2 million customers and counting backed by Morse. You know, Brian Danahy is part of the Ed Morse family, 73 years of Ed Morse quality and service across the state of Florida. And lease a 2019 Cadillac CTS sedan, just $329 a month during their Memorial Day event through May 31st at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, the gorgeous showroom out there. All the offers are on the websites, edmorsecadillactampa.com. Start your shopping right there. If you're in Brandon, out that way, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Tremendous pre-owned selection. We know how much they support you, Ira.
I've had enough of this Elantra stuff. It's a good car, but I want my Cadillac, Isbits. I want my Escalade. I want this. I want that. Help me, Steve. Help me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, the Ira Kaufman podcast is back. We are here. Things are moving and shaking in the world of the Bucks. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan, but the Sage is here. Ira, what is going on? How are you?
I'm good. We're 2 weeks removed from draft night. Euphoria. Kevin White leads to the promised land. And what do we find this week? It reminds me of the old logo. It's a Bucks life. It's a Bucks life. I'll give you an example this week. Chapter 1, Rondé Barber gets into the Ring of Honor. Should all be about Rondé Barber. Should be on the front page. Picture. Story. Overshadowed. Bad news. Jason Pierre-Paul. In a way, that's a story of Rondé Barber's post-Buck career in terms of trying to get him in the Hall of Fame. Can't get any respect for the man. And once again, on a day of celebration, he's overshadowed. And now we're going to spend the next 20 minutes on this podcast, as we should, talking about whether Jason Pierre-Paul is ever going to play another NFL game. Lee, I hope the answer is yes. If he does, I'm not sure it's going to be for the Bucks. We'll see. I hope the news isn't as bad as it looks. Fractured neck. I don't even like saying that, Lee. I don't even like saying those words. Fractured neck.
Well, you know what happens in a game when that happens. Guy's carted off on a stretcher, and he's taped up, and you're like a mummy. I mean, for JPP's sake, I feel awful for him. But you talk about bad luck. First the hand, now this.
If anybody can overcome it, it's him. I mean,
he's a warrior.
That kind of resilience.
He's a warrior, exactly. And resilience is a perfect word. But
thank you.
You're a wordsmith, you know. Aside from if he ever plays a snap for the Bucks again, it's sad for him personally.
And the Jason Light skeptics, Steve, are out in force. Didn't you know this was going to happen? Stupid implications like that. You should have addressed the D-line because you should have known Pierre-Paul was going to get hurt. What kind of craziness is this? Yes, he should have addressed the D-line. I'm not arguing that point. But don't take it to the extreme. You got to assume one of your guys is going to get into a one-car auto accident.
Hey, Ira, if these guys couldn't assume that Mike Smith was going to be a brutal defensive coordinator in 2018 after 2017 and didn't understand that Doug Martin had a pattern going on of running for less than 3 yards a carry, they're not going to see behind.
Are you still on that Doug Martin should have never come back off
the
suspension?
Anybody saying that is silly. Jason Light couldn't know. Now, of course, we wanted the defensive line.
Even with Jason Pierre-Paul.
Right, and a lot of that was about depth, and here we are. Now, of course, I did not introduce Lee DeCamper, the other Joe at Joe Bucks Fan. Ira, we heard some of those great offers at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You look so great in your gear, which you're not wearing today, Ira. What happened? In the wash?
You can't. I got too many things in the wash over there. It's been a while. I was gone all day the other day. I went to Palm Coast. It wasn't a good news situation. It was my wife's brother's wife. My wife's brother's wife. Is that kind of a sister-in-law?
Yes. Yeah.
She's in hospice.
Oh.
So it was a 3-hour and 15-minute drive up and back, same day. Don't like to do that too
often. Felt like 18 hours.
Same day. But here I am at Wild Wings at your disposal.
All right, we'll forgive the clothing mishap.
Yeah, I got to ask.
Thank you.
It's a Godfather. It's a Godfather line. It's Sonny. I'm looking at this logo. What the hell is that? AAL.
What it is?
It should be AAF.
What it is, this is a free shirt. That's what it is. Free shirt. If it's free, it's me.
It's free because they misspelled it. AAF.
And it fits. Triple X large, and there you go.
What the hell is that? AAL.
Is that your Sonny imitation?
What the hell is that? Yeah. Well,
He got shot at the causeway. You should have got shot before the causeway.
He should have had a sun pass. He wouldn't have got shot at the causeway.
All right, Sage. Now, man, for those who didn't see,
you remind me more of Clemenza. Never mind, Sonny.
Yeah, I know. I got a gut like Clemenza.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, stirring the tomato sauce.
Jason, Pierre, Paul, Sage. What happened was, he gets into this one car wreck. The details are constantly changing. By the time this podcast is listened to, good chance we'll have a different vehicle.
And it's been a week already.
And it's been a while. So, but you know what? As somebody who covered a lot of car accident type, high profile things at my days of the Tribune and accidents and stuff like that, there's the police report, and then there's the deeper report, and then there's what really happened. And these things are not necessary. Just because it has Florida Highway Patrol on it doesn't mean it's some sort of great accurate initial report. So
we just heard the emergency phone call.
Yeah, we heard the 911 call, which we assume is accurate from some website called Slater. You hear JPP, he sounds lucid, he sounds clear-headed, says he did a 360 in his red Ferrari. Hit the median. He's in the median, but he thinks his car is in a precarious position, and he calls the police saying, hey, you got to get it out of here, and they tell him to hang tight, and he sounds great, and he says, I'm okay, and that's it. So pretty typical 911 call. I'm not going to assume anything is sinister until we learn otherwise.
So at that point, the Bucks have no reason to think that this thing is serious.
Yeah, he goes to the hospital, he gets let out, which is, again, common. See you in the emergency room, okay, you feel okay, whatever, your vitals are good. All right, follow up with your specialist in the morning, and off you go. It's the standard procedure.
Right.
And JPP, as we mentioned before the podcast, guy's a freak of nature. He blew his hand off, Ira, and managed to fight through all these surgeries to come back.
You don't mess with those M80s. I learned that in Brooklyn. Cherry bombs and M80s. Ash cans. Stay away from them, baby.
And JPP said multiple times last year that the reason he was able to play through his knee injury last year is because he became so programmed to block out pain after blowing up his hand that he feels it.
You called him superhuman, Steven.
Well,
superhuman.
He's freakish.
Didn't
a freakish
Steven
guy.
Didn't Rice say the same thing?
He's not going to star in the next Avengers movie. Take it easy over there, Steven.
But here's the situation, Ira. This is where we need your sage wisdom as we sit here.
What a setup this is, DeKemper. This is a setup.
On May 8th, Ira, it seems that JPP, who's due $14.9 million, all under the salary cap, a non-football injury, a neck injury that could be career-threatening, could be season-threatening, could be something 3-4 months that he could work out without surgery. I don't know. But he's hurt, and it's serious, and the Bucks could get out from under this contract, it appears, because it's non-football. They can fail him on a physical and send him on his way tomorrow, or next week, or in 3 weeks, or in a month. What do you do, Ira? Do you just sort of make the decision, look, we don't want to gamble $15 million on a guy with a bad neck? What do you do?
All right. He thinks he's putting me on the spot, Lee. He's not. This is simple. This is not difficult. I'm sending this out to all members of Buck Nation, all of them. Stop getting hung up on the money. Take it easy with the money. Don't be stupid. Don't do anything. You used one word 7 times in that setup. Could. That's the key word. Could. He could need surgery. He could be done for the year. His career could be done. Why do you got to make a decision right now to get rid of Jason Pierre-Paul? He's your best defensive player in 2018. No reason to think he's not going to be your best defensive player in 2019.
No reason.
You need him.
The guy just broke his neck. What do you mean there's no reason?
He broke his neck. Does he need neck surgery? You don't know.
I don't. That's why I'm asking you, how do they proceed?
Why would you get rid of him right now, DeKemper? You don't know if he needs surgery. You got to find out more details. Why would you get rid of him right now?
Why?
Why?
Because of the unknown. Because of the unknown.
What if it turns out that he's out for 3 months?
Well, if it turns out he's out for his career.
Then you make
then
that
you're screwed. Is that too late, though?
If he needs surgery, then you make that decision.
We don't know if that comes in September or not.
No, it's not going to take 5 months to realize if the guy needs surgery or not. Does he need surgery or not? As soon as that question's answered, I proceed.
I'm not saying cut him immediately, Ira. Obviously, they want to have the doctors look at it, but...
DeKemper wanted to cut him as soon as they drafted Josh Allen. He wanted
no.
to cut.
No.
If the doctors determine that, you know, he could have surgery, maybe we do a couple of months of rehab first and see how it goes. I don't know. Hypotheticals, Ira. But what do you do? Do you want to invest?
I got to get a consensus from a noted orthopedist. I got to get something that says he needs neck surgery. Okay.
As opposed to an orthodontist.
Orthodontist. I'm not cutting him. I'm not cutting him May 9th. That's ridiculous. Do you guys not realize the impact that this guy has on this defense?
No,
He is the best player on this defense.
I had no idea, Ira.
You know, you're holding out for Carlton Davis as the best player, and I'm telling you it's JPP. Where are you going to replace 12 and a half sacks, DeKemper? Where are you going to do it?
You're asking the guy that's been screaming about this for years.
Well, they didn't have Josh Allen ranked that high. Not as high as on your board. And if they didn't, they did the right thing by not drafting him.
First off, they did not do the right thing by not getting a defensive lineman. Period. We've been over this before. Neither you or I are going to agree with each other. But having said that, right away when the news broke about this, commenters on JoeBucksFan.com, oh, here comes Lee about Josh Allen. No, that's unfair. That's unfair. Jason Light didn't have a crystal ball. You know what? In 4 days, JPP's going to get a fractured neck. That's unfair. Now, what I will say is, what I foresaw a year from now, 2 years from now, has been accelerated to May 8th, 2019. This, what we are going through today, right now, is what I envisioned a year ago, or a year from now, or if not 2 years from now. So here we are. It just got accelerated. The Bucks dug their own hole. For whatever reason, the Bucks organization is not just a Jason Light thing. It goes way back to Bruce Allen. This organization does not like running backs, does not like defensive linemen, and they made their own bed. And
may I point out, Mr. DeKemper, with all due respect and consideration, which is tough for me to say, they brought in five defensive linemen last year.
What
not
kind of?
Four, five. Five. They drafted a guy in the first round, defensive lineman. They brought in four other guys, defensive linemen.
Stiffs.
Stiffs. Everybody's a stiff.
Okay, so you're telling me Bo Allen
including
is a pro bowler.
Pierre Paul.
Well, yeah, and I give him credit
and
for that.
And all of a sudden, their pass rush was acceptable.
One guy.
It was acceptable.
Yeah, one guy. One. Uno. Uno.
What's the bar, Ira?
And what did the 12 sacks do for the defense?
And now
last
you want to dump the guy that's the uno. You want to dump him.
Because of the unknown, it's not. Okay, keep him.
Once
keep him and watch you. And you're going to be crapping in your hands when the guy has to have freaking surgery and you got nothing.
Steve,
then you got Nassib as a freaking pass rusher. Give me a break.
Once the unknown is the known, you make your decision.
I'm not telling
it's an
you.
It's informed decision.
I just wanted your opinion, Ira. You get all the. Testy.
Well, I'm just saying, for Buck fans that want to get rid of him yesterday, that's crazy.
Well, you know what? The only issue that I had with what you said, Ira, is you're saying, hey, the pass rush was this or whatever. They're, what, 19th in sacks? You're the one who's been talking about it.
I'm not sure it was 19th.
I believe it was 19th.
It was a lot better than it was in 2017.
Which ain't saying anything.
I understand. The point is, you've set a high bar this season because you keep telling fans, now, don't accept less than 9-7. A winning team, he's got the talent. So we're setting high bars around here. But, Ira, here we are. The Bucs need a pass rush. They need help. And if you find out that JPP is going to attempt a rehab that takes 3 months. Let's say they say, you know, hey, JPP looks like a candidate for a three-month neck rehab.
So they'll go out and get some help.
All right, so you go get some help. Now, what about this guy from the Chiefs?
Alan Bailey. How you find these guys is beyond me, Steve. You scour
research.
That free agent market.
So you're the Chiefs fan. He's been there 8 years. Alan Bailey starts 13 games last
year. He's okay.
Six sacks.
You know, he's a guy. He's a guy. He's not terrible.
Oh, so he's Will Golston.
But he's looking to get paid. Lee wants to be paid. He's a veteran. He's 30 years old, not 23. He's not going to replace JPP. Not by a long shot.
There's
and nobody
out
expects
there.
That.
Yeah.
Nobody expects that. He's okay. Lee, I got to think that the uncertainty about JPP, which could become certainty within a week or two in terms of, yeah, he's going to need neck surgery, it's going to change the dynamics of the Gerald McCoy situation. I think it has to, especially for a defensive line that you already thought was kind of inadequate and needed a lot of help. How would you feel about going forward without McCoy and JPP?
Well, that's what I fear. And you know, you were you were getting your blood pressure worked up, your cardiologist would be scolding you, getting blood pressure worked up because the Bucks might move on from a guy that's got a messed up neck. Well, the Bucks are moving on from a guy who led the team in quarterback hits, Gerald McCoy. I'd be more worked up about that. McCoy's healthy. JPP is not.
All right, Sage, let me throw this at you. Now, you said don't think about the money. Stop thinking about the money, the $14.9 million due.
Money don't put Drew Brees on his ass. I got news for you.
Fair point.
Fair point.
However, without money, you can't get anybody.
So this is where I ask you. You are the conduit to Team Glazer. You have the mind meld on what they think. And
that's a scary proposition.
Now, when you have this decision here, I think intelligent fans know how this is probably going to go. Seasoned fans, people who've lived life. JPP is going to look for a doctor who tells him you can rehab this and be ready in 3-4 months. That's what he's going to look for. And he'll find one. I guarantee it. The Bucks, they're going to look at it much more objectively. And if the Bucks think you need surgery, but JPP says, I can go to this guy.
Don't the Buck doctors have to weigh in at a certain point?
Well, of course. But we don't know if JPP is going to come to the team and be evaluated by the docs.
That's a problem.
We don't know.
If he doesn't do that, that's a problem.
He may just send his scans, whatever they are, CAT scans, MRIs, whatever. And that might be okay. But the point is that JPP, if he goes in for neck surgery, he'll be released. They won't owe him a nickel, and he'll be fighting for a new contract after neck surgery. He wants to try to preserve that money if he wants to keep playing football. So the Bucks are going to be stuck. Do we let JPP rehab on his own and waste more time and see what happens when our doctor says he needs surgery? Where do you think the Glazers fit?
I think the Bucks will make – if he does find somebody, and you're probably right, he'll find somebody that says, JPP, with rehab therapy, you're going to be okay in August. At the end of training camp, you might be able to come back.
The day he's on that opening day roster, Ira, I believe he's due all $15 million.
What I'm about to say is the Bucks then have to evaluate the evaluators. Do they trust them? Is it their own doctors that are saying that? You would think the Bucks would trust their own orthopedic people. But if he finds somebody off the grid, perhaps, you never know. And if I'm the Buck management and the Glazers, and I don't have a lot of faith in those people that are looking at him that said you don't need neck surgery, then I'm moving on. At that point, I'm moving on. And before I get stuck with that large tab, I'm moving on.
What do you do if Tiger Woods' doctor says you don't need neck surgery? The Balco boys.
Tiger Woods is not beholden to a management team. He's an independent contractor. I mean, it's not.
I thought I set the table for a one-liner and he walked away from it.
And besides, I'm surprised you know. You said you didn't know any golfers. I'm surprised you know
well,
Tiger Woods.
I don't
golf.
Know golf. I know Balco.
Speaking of golf, Sage. Well, of course, you can't think of Tiger Woods without thinking of his wife and the golf club. I thought you were going there, but
that was a 7-iron, wasn't it, Steve? That night, I think it was.
Ira, we saw the video from Derek Brooks' charity event. Jameis Winston says yes to a trick shot artist.
Well, why am I not invited to Derek Brooks' charity event?
You know what? That was
good question, Ira.
I think that's a hell of a question.
It's an outrage.
It is an outrage.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he didn't want me to embarrass Old Memorial Golf Club with my swing. Who says you got to play? Maybe he's seen it. I think I could shoot about a 180. Not do a 180, but shoot a 180.
You got the guy in the Hall of Fame. He won't allow you to golf with him.
Throw me out there on the golf course. I'll run and get sandwiches for these people. I'll get a sandwich for Booger McFarlane. I don't care.
Well, if he's paying the trick shot artist, he could just have you out there to tell jokes.
All right, continue. Anyway. Set this thing up.
So Jameis says yes to a known in the area golf trick shot artist who goes out to these charity events and puts on little shows.
Those guys are phenomenal. They are phenomenal.
And he entertains people, and it's a thing. And that's fine. He's known in the community. And
he looks for a volunteer, right?
Yeah. Whatever would happen that day, this week, Jameis volunteers to sit on the grass, put on a flimsy-looking orange helmet. He was a 5-inch tee sticking on top of it. The guy puts the ball on and swings a driver directly at Jameis's head.
At about 150 miles an hour.
Baseball style. Okay, not golf style, baseball style, and proceeds to tee the ball off Jameis's head. And
Hits it clean, yes,
thankfully. He didn't miss. What are your thoughts?
All right, I'll start off by saying these guys are almost trained professionals. I've seen them. They'll bounce a ball and hit it you know, while it's bouncing and hit it 310 yards almost all the time, a bouncing ball. It's like the guy on the old Ed Sullivan show. You know, he had 14 plates in the air. Or the guy that threw the knife on Ed Sullivan. I know he went off the air before you were born in DeKemper, but that's all right.
I vaguely remember him.
So let me get that out there. It's not like I think the guy is going to miss and decapitate the face of the franchise, so to speak.
Or the famous Johnny Carson axe.
However, in the words of Steve, crazy things happen. Just ask Jason Pierre-Paul. You don't expect the hydroplane on I-95 at 3 o'clock in the morning. So get somebody else, James. Get somebody else to volunteer. Get your buddy. Maybe Ronald Darby was sitting there. Get Darby to put a hat on. Don't do it, James. Don't do it. I don't think the Glazers or Jason Light have taken a full breath since they've seen that video. Not one full breath.
I think Jason Light's holding his breath over JPP Morton.
Let's not overreact. We got some fans saying it's another example of Jameis Winston's crazy judgment, stupid judgment, immaturity. I thought it was a poor decision. I'm not going to kill him about it. But next time, don't do it.
I'm sort of in your boat. It's not a wise decision. I can't crucify the guy for it. But I thought of this last night. These dudes are wired differently. They're just wired, and I'm not saying that negatively. They're just wired differently. I mean, you couldn't pay me to jump out of an airplane. You couldn't pay me to jump off a bridge and hope a rubber band brings me back. Yeah, I mean, I think that's
what
just,
about a bungee jump over there?
That's what I'm talking about.
You're not
that's
doing
the
it.
Rubber I mean, band. That, right? I mean, that's
just, oh, the rubber band. Yeah, well, it might snap. So you
what's
know,
that?
It might snap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way in hell I would use. And these dudes, they sort of think they're indestructible. I mean, we were talking about JPP earlier. JPP thinks it's okay to hold up Roman candles, whatever the hell he had in his hand,
yeah,
and blows up his hand. These guys just think they're indestructible. They're wired different. I think part of the reason why is the level they got in their profession. They're just wired different. Like, you know, Jameis, he's got guys coming at him full speed, dead on. That would kill anybody at this table. You know, Jameis, like, come on. I mean, there's just something about these dudes. Like,
why take a chance? Why take a chance?
Well, I agree with that. But again, they're wired differently. They don't think like you and I.
In his mind, he doesn't think he's taking a chance.
Thank you.
He doesn't think
thank
he's
you.
Taking a
thank
chance.
You. Exactly. So, I mean, was it wise? Of course it wasn't wise. But I can't kill. He's made worse decisions.
I wonder
than
if
that.
Brooks was around when he did it. I wonder if Brooks was on near
well,
that near that. Situation.
Why did Brooks invite the trick shot artist to begin with? He obviously does that. Didn't
well,
they have a helmet?
But at his tournament, Brooks circulates.
I'm also going to say it's Derek Brooks Charities, which has been around a long time. I'm sure Derek Brooks is not running the golf tournament, putting it together. It's his deal, but he's got people who work for him.
But he's glad-handing all over the place.
Right, but my point is that
management company, right?
Yeah, he's got a company and his own company that runs the charity and stuff. So I don't think he's that granular on the details of, you know, I don't think he picked the shrimp on the buffet either. But the point is, I agree with what Lee's saying. Is these guys are wired differently. That's why, you know, that's why they play football. Defensive ends across the league are pretty much lunatics, most of them. But
why would you climb, you know,
but
you
I'll
know,
ask,
Everest?
A mountain in Yosemite? Or
but
something.
For me, the answer to this question, the answer to this question is, Iron, I'm going to throw you to your sage wisdom.
People swim with sharks. What the hell?
You're characterizing me as a daredevil?
No, I'm going to ask you this question. Of the 53-man roster of the Bucks, how many guys do you think would do that, what Jameis did?
11.
How many volunteer?
11.
11, right. But why are the other 40 not doing it?
Were there.
Well, my point is that I think even most of the NFL guys who are wired differently wouldn't do such a thing. And it's just odd. It's just it's not a good choice. Not a good, I mean.
And, of course, it's on video. Of course.
Right. Well, thankfully, nothing happened.
I said, people swim with sharks. People jump off bridges. People jump out of airplanes.
Yeah.
Perfectly good airplanes.
Right, but they're also relying on their own ability to be strong, like their own independence, right? If I climb a mountain, I feel like I'm going to do this. If I'm sitting
here,
there.
Here he was helpless.
Here he's helpless, right? It's different. It's weird to me, anyway.
He put in his life in another man's
right,
hands.
Right, right.
Just like that great speech by Jack Nicholson at the end of A Few Good Men. You ever put your... You ever put your life on the line? You ever have a man put his life on the line for you? You want the truth. You can't handle the truth,
well, you
DeKemper.
Know what? Here's it. We'll learn the truth about you. You talk about Daredevil. I'm waiting to see you at the craps table in a year when we go to Vegas and the Bucks play the Raiders.
You said I'm going to Vegas and I'm taking you up on it.
Yeah.
You also said I'm going to London this year. I'll take you up on that too. You may proceed.
Wrong.
You may proceed, Steve.
All right, Sage, it was great to hear those words from Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, all those opportunities there.
We have a special guest today, I might add.
We do. You know, later we're going to be bringing in intern Zach Seifter, the man who's going to be learning from you for the next couple of
spell
months.
Spell his last name is, but
spell
it,
I'll let him spell his
right
last
there,
name.
Right
I'll
now.
Let him spell. But yeah,
in case people want to look him up, you know, you never know.
We're going to have him ask you some questions, and you can give you know counsel the young man. Which you've counseled
would
me.
Would you guess he'd be one of the 11 bucks if he was in the locker room that would put a cap on with a tee and let that guy swing at him?
I don't think so, but you could ask him.
All right.
You could ask him. All right.
He'd be more like Johnny Carson when he had the axe thrown at him.
The axe thrown at
him.
Go
ahead and YouTube, people. Johnny Carson axe.
Right in the crotch. Right in the crotch.
You gave it away,
it.
Dude.
I
Come
remember
on.
It. Anyway.
All right. Got to ask you this, though, because this was really telling. He's a friend of yours, somebody you've spent time with. We're around for years.
It could be anybody.
Well, sure, of course it could be. Could be Muriel Berkowitz from back in the 30s, you know. But anyways, Rondae Barber, as you mentioned in the opening, going on the Ring of Honor, and he jumps on his first interview is with his brother, Tiki. They're very close. Goes on his national radio show on Tuesday afternoon, evening. And they're reminiscing about old times. They're talking about soccer. They spent the first 6 minutes talking international soccer, which was hard to believe when I was suffering through this interview.
That played in Peoria, I bet.
But anyway, Sage, Rondae Barber, at the end of the interview, he's asked by his brother, hey, we didn't have a lot of time left, Rondae. We didn't get to the Bucks, but I got to ask you about Gerald McCoy. What do you think about McCoy and the state of the thing? And so Tiki asks him the question, and Rondae says, you know, Gerald's great, he's this, he's that, and I'll read you the quote. Gerald is an icon here. He will be in the Ring of Honor.
Yes, baby.
For the Buccaneers one day. So he agrees with you on that front. Then Rondae says, if you ask me personally, I'd love to see him here in 2019. There's a need. There's not a lot of talent on this football team. They're young. A lot of them don't get it. I don't know why you would let a player like that go. Your reaction?
Rondae, next time, let the closing credits roll before you come up with a line like that. Honest, yes. Give him credit for candor. You know, Rondae's close to Jason Light. You know who he's even more closer with? Bruce Arians. He's closer to Arians than he is to Light. He goes back a long way with Bruce Arians, who told me that Rondae Barber used to sit on his knee way back when, as a toddler. And you guys know that Rondae is at One Buck Place quite often during the season. He lives here. He knows this team inside out. He knows the players. He knows their character. He knows their passion for football or lack thereof. For Rondae Barber to say there's not a lot of talent on this football team, by the way, something that I said about a week ago, and I've taken a barrage from a lot of Buck fans for being too negative for saying it, is, you know, there's a lot of holes, and I don't like this roster when I said it. And now you got a Ring of Honor entrant that kind of agrees with me. I'm shocked that he would say it, Steve. It might. I don't know this for a fact. It might reflect the views of the coaching staff about this roster. It's a new coaching staff. They've gotten a look at these guys. We know what they say in public. This could be a little peek behind the curtain, Lee, and it's not a pleasant look behind that curtain right now.
You're talking about people giving you crap about negativity? Was it accurate? Was it accurate?
Oh, was it accurate?
Yeah.
No, what they call negativity, I call honesty.
But what I'm saying is, the thing that they're claiming is negative, was the information you provided accurate?
In my opinion, it was.
Then there's nothing to worry about. No need to worry about it. Anybody whining if it's negative. If the information was accurate.
Are you surprised Barbara would say so in a public setting?
Yeah, because I know how tight he is with Jason Light. And people want to know why you're always quoting Rondae Barber. Because we know who he hangs with. And we know who he's getting information from. And so that's why we do it, Steve and I. Yeah, it's basically saying, my buddy Jason Light has made a lot of mistakes.
What about the don't get it part? He's got to be talking about young players.
Well, you know what? He's basically reinforcing what I've been saying. Like, you know, unfortunately, in the position we the Bucks are now, potentially, no McCoy, no JPP, and you're asking a bunch of rookies and second-year guys in the secondary and a rookie inside linebacker to carry this defense, I'm not banking on that, man.
But
I'm not banking on
that. But the important point that I'm trying to make about what Barber said, he wasn't necessarily talking about talent when he says they don't get it. I think
that's
a reflection of attitude.
That's Mike Smith.
There's Isn't he talking about their attitude? Sure.
That their mindset, or they're just not, maybe they're not seasoned enough.
They're neophytes.
Serious enough. It could be a lot of things. And we don't even need to belabor it. We can talk deeper on it next time. Maybe Rondé will talk more about this. We know the salary cap situation. That means you're spending a fortune of money on talent. And here you got a guy. The Bucks have a bad or have are to the top of the cap, and he's saying there's not a lot of talent on this football team. What are you paying for
then,
Pat? That's
a horrible combination.
He threw Jason Light under the bus. I can hear the screeching all the way to JPP in the media. It's bad. It's bad, you know, and there's no out of context there.
Well, Lee, it goes back to what we were saying about how can you be 5-11 2 years in a row and still have no money?
Oh,
that's a terrible situation.
That's bad.
All right, Ira, of course, plenty to think about. We keep pounding away at joebucksfan.com. The podcast can be found iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. We encourage everyone to subscribe, which means you just get a free alert that, hey, new podcast. And it's modern technology, Ira. You got to love that stuff. Or you can listen right on the website like thousands of people do. And we promised earlier, Sage, in the last podcast, new intern at joebucksfan.com, world headquarters, Zach Seifter, out of the University of Florida, an educated man, far more.
I'm hoping Zach can get me back in the top 50. That's what I'm hoping for. You've been an abysmal failure in that regard. I'm hoping Zach can nudge me a little bit.
Thank you, Ira. Thank you. I appreciate your vote of confidence. Anyway, we've got Zach here learning from you, learning all kinds of things at joebucksfan.com. We've seen his work at Joe Bucks Fan, which is kind of cool. And so he'll be around. You know, you'll be counseling him, and we'll hear about some of the things that you've been counseling him as time goes by.
We'll have him for part of training camp also.
Right now, Ira, though, let me introduce Zach. And he has a few questions for you, just strictly for your wisdom. And, you know, he's got a different perspective. I don't know what these questions are, but I told him it's open.
You want me to handle questions from a millennium? I don't know. You know,
you can't even say millennium.
I can't even
say.
Zach, are you voting? You better vote. You better vote in the 2020 election. We need you.
Right.
We need young voices like yours.
Absolutely. And Ira, before we get started, I have a small story for you.
You have a story?
I have a story for you. Yes, sir.
I thought I'm the storyteller of this podcast. What do you got?
Well, last podcast, you made it very clear that I should not be going in the newspaper. First thing. And I recall, I believe it was October.
Kills me to say it.
October. I think it was last October, October 2018. I reached out to you on Twitter. And I was like, Sage, I'm young. I'm trying to get into sports media. Any advice for a kid like me? You want to know what your response was? Try the Tampa Bay Times or the Orlando Sentinel.
Oh, only as a stepping stone. Only as a stepping stone. Get your foot in the door and get the hell out of that door. Look, it kills me. You know, Lee's the same way. He's been on newspapers. Isbitz had a cup of coffee with the Tribune. Turned out to be bitter coffee.
What? Come on.
But the industry's changed, Zach. It's even changed since October. It's gotten worse. We just found out that, you know, New Orleans Picayune destroyed new ownership. So, look, I don't want to discourage you from getting into journalism, but for your own sake, and this goes out to your father too, be careful of the newspaper business because you know what the problem is? People your age don't read the paper. Papers could go all digital. We're going to get our news in a lot different form in the next 5 to 10 years. Zach, get in there, get your feet wet, and then get out of there. That's my answer.
Gotcha. You said Tampa Bay Times or Orlando Sentinel. I said, forget that. I'm coming to you.
Nice,
Joe Bucks
baby.
Fan.
Nice.
Anyway, but I got a few questions for you right here. First one, kind of surrounding Jameis Winston and what it's going to kind of be going into his contract situation going forward. And I pulled up a few stats for you. The 2014 through 2016 New Orleans Saints, 3 straight years of 7-9.
That's right.
Drew Brees, over those 3 seasons, averaged over 5,000 yards, 34 touchdowns and 14 INTs. I'm not saying necessarily Jameis has to play that way, but if he plays even close to that level, maybe 4,500 yards, over 30 touchdowns, and he chops off the turnovers a little bit, and the defense lets him down, sort of like those New Orleans teams let Breeze down in that regard. And the Bucks go 6-10, 7-9. How do you proceed?
It's a tough call, Zach. Tough one. Boy, your first question's a doozy, baby. So Winston, on an individual basis, has a very good season. A Drew Brees-like season, maybe a notch below. Yet they go 6-10. Well, you said it right then. The defense would have to be lousy. The run game would probably have to be lousy, which would only be keeping in tune with the last 3 years. No run game. At that point, now look, I've been on this podcast and I've said it many times. You got to win as a quarterback. Eventually, you got to win. He's 21-33. Let's say he started all 16 of those games. Now he's 27-43. That's 70 games, and the guy's well below 500. That's a problem for me. That is a problem. The defense would have to be horrendous. The run game would have to be horrendous for me to say, okay, there's extenuating circumstances why a Jameis Winston-led Buck team goes 6-10. Ultimately, I'd be very leery, even if he threw 32 touchdowns, I'd be leery of locking him up for 5 years for $140 million. I would be leery.
All right, Sage, powerful answer. Leery, Ira, good question for Zach. He's swinging for the fences right out of the gate.
He's bringing stats.
He's bringing setups.
That's a double off the wall right off the bat over there.
All right, next question.
All right. This one, we're kind of shifting over to the defensive side of the ball. Everyone knows about Jason Pierre-Paul at this point. While there is uncertainty about the timeline that he'll be out, let's say he requires surgery, but it's only a 5 to 6 month surgery or 5 to 6 month recovery. He's back possibly October, November, but he's going to miss the first half of the season. What do you do with that contract?
I move on. If he doesn't play until midseason or late November, I hate to say this, but the season's there's a good chance the season's going to be lost at that point. He's not under contract for much longer beyond this season anyway. He's not 26 years old. I know he's a superhuman in terms of his ability to overcome obstacles. You got to respect that. But I'd have to move on at that point, save his salary, use it for somebody else. You can't take a hit on Jason Pierre-Paul where he doesn't play, he doesn't contribute, and expect this team to fight for an NFC South title. I don't think that's realistic.
This one, I'm getting a little more personal, stepping away from football. And you know the Tampa scene a nice little bit.
I know the Gainesville scene, too, over there, Zach.
Gainesville
scene,
all right.
That's why you're in trouble. I got my eye out on you. I got surveillance on you.
Me and my girlfriend, our third anniversary is coming up, beginning of June. Any nice places around that I could take her to? A little on the cheaper side. I'm kind of broke over here. Yeah, I'm a college student.
There's a place on McDill with a tremendous beet salad. You pair it with a Riesling. A little Chateau Saint Michel.
Ira, the young man, he wants your wisdom. You come. This is
important. There's romance. There's romance to be had at these places. Oh, what's the young lady's name, Zach?
Logan.
Logan. Now wait a minute. I'm not making this up. When I met my wife in a New York City bar in December of 1979, the guy that kind of introduced us to was named Logan. Logan Hobson was his name. He worked for United Press International. He was a sports writer. And I had just gone to a banquet that night, and I had a nice suit, nice tie, had a beard at that time. And Logan Hobson was out with Carolyn Clancy, and my wife happened to be tagging along as the third person. They get to Manhattan, and he calls me up. I'm in the office in the Daily News building, 42nd Street and 3rd. He goes, "Hey, we're at Suspenders, 38th and 1st Avenue. How about coming down? I'm with my girl, and there's a, you know, her girlfriend's with her." I go, I'm not coming. I almost walked out on the greatest night of my life over here, Steve. I almost didn't do it, Zach. So, he was very forceful, like all people named Logan. They're very forceful. And he forced me down there, and I went. My boss happened to be up in the office. He goes, "Come on, I'll go with you." We go down there. I meet my wife. I have an instant rapport with her. Instant. We turn towards the bar. We turn our backs on my boss. He's standing in the middle of Suspenders Bar. He has nobody to talk to. Logan's talking to Carolyn Clancy. I'm talking to my future wife. And my wife turns around after a couple minutes. "Hey, who's that guy standing there?" I go, "That's my boss." She goes, "Don't you think we should include him in the conversation?" I said, "Absolutely not. Turn around." 30 seconds later, the guy left. So my boss flees the scene. The rest is history, Zach. Glorious history. and we've been together ever since. My place is romantic. You got your beet salad, your Riesling, and I guarantee it's more romantic than you went wherever you went on that very first date. Zach, where did you go?
Top Golf.
I believe I'm a winner.
And then I took her out for sushi afterwards.
Not bad, but still, I'm ahead of you. It's Kaufman 1, Zach 0. Yeah. See you later.
All right, Ira, that was fun. It was good to hear your feedback on the life lessons. I've even learned a few things, Ira, you know, and you know what? You've counseled me. You've gotten me to this stage in my life, and I thank you very much for that.
It's an uncertain time for Buck fans. It's uncertain. Here we are on the brink of rookie minicamp. The focus should be on Devin White, Mike Edwards. How's he looking at safety? Could he be the slot corner? And instead, all eyes are on a guy who's not around, Jason Pierre-Paul, and the whole medical shroud that's hanging over him. Sad situation, Lee. The timing is never going to be good about this kind of thing, but it's particularly bad. And that thing I said about overshadowing Ronde Barber, Ronde will get over that. I understand that. He'll have his day in the Ring of Honor. He didn't get the headlines he should have on Wednesday. But we got to get to the bottom of this JPP thing. He's too important. He's too important a player for this organization.
Well, what do you mean, what's there to get to the bottom of? Are you suggesting he's got a hemorrhoid issue?
We got to find out if he needs neck surgery. I'm not going to rely on you and your cockamamie doctors.
All right, Sage, we will find this out, of course. You know what? Next podcast, we're planning on it coming out early since we're probably going to record it after the last day of minicamp on Saturday.
So, we will have access to Mr. Arians.
Yep, and of course there'll be a lot more than rookie news coming out, so that should be interesting. But we have plenty more to talk about. It'll be nice to get a look at these rookies as well. And the beat goes on, Ira. All right, you have anything of substance, anything intelligent to add as we head on out of here?
I have a perfect closer, which is, besides looking at the breathtaking speed of Devin White, I will look at the breathtaking speed of one Lee DeKemper as he scurries to find a seat under an umbrella over this weekend with the pitiless rays of the Florida sun beating down on the back of the Bucks headquarters. And DeKemper might elbow a guy right out of the way if he's sitting in the perfect umbrella seat. That's what I'm looking for.
You got to do better than that, Ira, next time.